We're live. Welcome to The Forecast, Seattle's weekly women's sports show here on KVRU 105.7 FM. We are your weekly women's sports show here in Seattle. Unfortunately, we have to talk about Caitlin Clark this week, but we will mostly be talking about Seattle women's sports, so please stay tuned. I am your host, Maggie Mertens, an independent journalist here in Seattle. I've been covering women's sports for the past 12 years. The other half of this show is my producer, Jeff Scott Shaw. Hi, Jeff. We are here to talk anything and everything about Seattle women's sports, get you all caught up on what you might have missed, answer your questions, give you our hot takes, hear yours, and generally give you something fun to listen to during these times when we all really need more good news, right? If you've missed our show so far, or you've only heard part of an episode and want to get all caught up, we do put out a new show every Tuesday. You can check out the whole archive on kvru.org or on your favorite podcast feeds. We are talking with all of the movers and shakers here in Seattle women's sports, and we want to hear from you too. So feel free to reach out anytime at theforecast@kvru.org or over on Instagram at Seattle Women's Sports.
I will say typically our show airs live on 105.7, which is an FM low powered station. Airs live at 4 p.m. on Tuesdays and 9 a.m. on Wednesdays. And then the podcast feed usually goes up Thursday morning.
Yes.
So people can look for that. Also, I feel like you're a little sassy today. Maggie's got a little sass today.
We've got a lot of losing games to talk about. Maybe that's part of it. but you know what? We've got a lot going on. There's a lot of bad news out there. But women's sports is still happening, win or lose. So we're going to chat about all those games you missed this week and more. So stay tuned for all those scores and headlines from the Storm versus Temple game, Storm versus Fever game, Rain versus Gotham. We have a big win for the Seattle Tempest and the end of the season for the Seattle Majestics, as well as some college sports going on. I'm going to be talking about Caitlin Clark later. I'm really sorry about it. And then we'll be talking with Susie Rantz over at Sounder at Heart about what the heck's going on with the Rain goal scoring drought. We're up to 5 games without a goal.
5 games. Also, you have a hot take about Caitlin Clark, and you actually sound sad about it.
Yeah, well, I don't want to take up all the women's sports airtime to talk about Caitlin Clark, turns out.
She's not from here.
But we did play her this week.
I also saw, yes, and no Leah Boston,
but no Dom Malonga.
No Dom Malonga, no Awafam is still missing in action. But I also see that you wanted to talk about all the millionaires wanting to leave the city over taxes. Don't get me started on this.
And how our light rail now might not be built at all out to West Seattle or up to Ballard.
So I think a lot of people maybe have heard about the show through sports circles. Yeah. But they may not know Crystal Fincher, who's one of the EPs for KVRU. She actually is a co-owner of KVRU. Her kind of background and roots outside of wishing that she had an F1 radio show is in the political space. So I'm actually working with her on a project for KVRU, talking to Senator Noelle Frame about the millionaires tax.
Fantastic.
And so if you want to talk about actual taxes and, you know, the possibility of a state income tax or any of all these things, she has some thoughts. Mm-hmm. And I would love to have her on the show to talk about how terrible this idea is that Katie Wilson has done anything really wrong, and Howard Schultz wagging his tail between his legs going to wherever, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a whole sidebar that we don't have to talk about, but it does affect
people. We only want the rich people who support women's sports anyway.
Let's go. Let's go. And so this would be the call. If anyone is listening to this and knows any rich women who want to support
our rich allies
sports. Yeah. But like, I think like, you know, Mackenzie Scott, Melinda French, like
we've got a few.
We got some women who are ballers.
Absolutely. And you know who could use a little cash infusion? I mean, all of the sports teams, all of our local sports teams.
All of them.
But let's just start with the rain right now, because I want to give a quick recap of what happened. We're going to dive a little deeper later in the show with Susie when we do our interview portion, just to hear a little bit about what she thinks is going on with this team. If you didn't see it, the rain played Gotham on Friday here at home at Lumen Field. They dropped another one. It was another shutout. 2-0 was the final score. It wasn't a huge surprise, the loss. Gotham is really, really good. They have a stacked roster in a way that Seattle really does not. Rose Lavelle, Jalen Howell, Jaden Shaw, Tierna Davidson, Midge Purse, Emily Sonnet. Like, this is just part of their roster. The rain really just didn't have an answer for them Friday. It was kind of similar to the Spirit. They kept up, right? They kept up. It seemed like, you know, they could have had a chance, but it was just a little bit of being outplayed and not having that finish again. For Gotham, Jaden Shaw got the first goal in the 24th minute on a great play. Dudley to McCaskill to Shaw, kind of right in the box there. Tierna Davidson had the second goal off a set piece in the second half, off a corner kick, came into the box, and Davidson had a one-touch just to the back of the net. Again, I really loved Narelia Mondesir. Her energy is just really unstoppable on the field. She's the piece I keep kind of coming back to that I'm hoping, you know, her shot just kind of gets figured out, because I feel like she could actually really be a high scorer for this team. She is so dynamic. She's really the one moving the ball. She had two of the best shots during this game. One went right to the keeper, one went high. So I'm just kind of dying for her to sort of like get a little finesse on that shot. So this is 5 games without a goal for the rain. The rain are headed on the road for the next few games, going to Boston, then Washington, D.C., then North Carolina. They will be back home at Lumen Field July 12th against the Portland Thorns. And I do want to say, I watched this one on TV on Friday, and the stands did not look great. So, we're going to talk about that, too, with Susie, and hopefully with some of the folks from the Royal Guard, the official supporters group, in the next few weeks, so we can figure out what's going on there. All right.
You think, I know we're going to talk with Susie about it. We've had Ava from 365 Hockey, mm-hmm. girl, anytime we post something social with her, it blows mm-hmm. up. We have Sarah Rose's hot take that I guess there's a lot of people who also feel the same way that Doppler is too tired. But, like, one of the better performing things recently was this conversation, your hot take about, you know, where's the Royal Guard? Mm-hmm. I know we want to have them on the show. Do you think this break is going to be good for them? I feel like momentum is going to crash, but I'm an optimist and I don't feel good about it.
I'm looking forward to seeing if Susie has any intel on this. I know when we've talked earlier with some of the folks from the rain, you know, it felt like there's going to be a lot of focus on soccer here. And like that traditionally has been good, historically has been good for women's teams. But yeah, you don't know, right? Like we don't quite know.
That sigh.
Yeah.
That sigh.
I do want to say like, I, I want to get people excited. I want to, like, get people out to this game. This is part of this show for me as, like, also making these kinds of things, like, more accessible for just anyone. Like, you don't have to be a crazy soccer fan, but, like, maybe you'll fall in love with it. So, like, go try it out. So, yeah, we'll be talking more about that. And I think especially leading up to that July 12th game, we should chat more with some folks about what it's like being at these games and why being there in person is really important and fun.
I do think it's a little bit of a barometer that
absolutely like, absolutely
one, can they score? We'll talk to Susie about that. Can they score? Last time they were what? It was nine players.
Yep, 9 players on the field for the Thorns and they still didn't win. So
they couldn't score. So I think can the Rain score?
Big question.
And can we get a draw on a beautiful day after the World Cup as, like, this is a real deal? You know, I mean, I know I'm not super up with the Thorns roster. I do wish there was, like, some just, like, there's not a player like the Messi effect, but I wish that there was, like, that effect player going to be in town.
They have Sophia Wilson, who is, like, a pretty big deal. I want one of the Rain players to break out and be that person, right?
Yes.
That people are, like, excited to go see.
Yes.
And that's hard to do during the Men's World Cup break, but, you know, we'll see. There will probably be some other things going on with the players, and so who knows? Maybe they'll figure something out to get people out there. We'll circle back to this one. The Storm played 2 games over the past week. Another 2 losses. I do just want to say, all right, this is not settling in for this. This is not what we should expect for the whole season, okay? We're not there yet. I'm not super worried still. We're still playing with no Ezzie Magbegor. No Katie Lou Samuelson, no Awa Pham, who was the number 2 draft pick, right? She should be here soon. Ezzie might be in a couple more weeks. No clue what's going on with Katie Lou. And, you know, this is still a brand new team that's learning each other and still gelling. And honestly, you know, playing Toronto last Thursday, that game was close. They could have won. They were in it the entire time. It was really, like, it pulled away in the last couple minutes and really only because Marina Mabry was, like, doing her thing and, like, just...
Which I hate.
Know!
I hate it so much.
I, like, love her and I hate her in a weird way. I do, I'm, like, also, though, like, the Tempo is a good team. Like, they do, like, that was their first franchise win, but, like, they do have a lot going for them. And it's just so crazy to me that, like, they've ended up where they are versus the Fire, just roster-wise. Like, they ended up with Marina Mabry, Kiki Rice, Satu Sabali, Brittany Sykes, and, like, they have Sandy Brondello coaching. Like, this is, like, a potential team, like, a sleeper team.
No, that's not a sleeper team.
It's, like, an actual...
Yeah, that's a team.
It's a team, right? Where, like, the Fire has, like, nobody... I'm still shocked that the Fire has nobody, and I'm not trying to be offensive by that, but, like...
White man filling up.
Yes, and maybe that's a lot of it, right? Like, the coaching staff. I'm sure Sandy was a huge draw. But, yeah, they were right in it. I mean, like, the Storm was right in it. And again, without, like, 3 major pieces to the puzzle, they were right in it. It really only got away from them in the 4th quarter. The Tempo just went on this run. Marina Mabry was doing this 3-pointer thing that, you know, we saw her do it a couple times during Unrivaled. That was just
I hate it. So
she just gets in a flow state. And it just kind of pushed Toronto ahead a little too far in those last couple minutes. But even with this diminished roster, like, they were in it and they kept going, right? Like, and we've said that, like, every game, right? Like, they are not, like, giving up on the court here. And it was the first franchise win for the Tempo, so that was, like, gave a nice moment for, like, Sonia Rahman to give her old boss a hug and a congrats. And we saw some good numbers from Malanga and Jade Melbourne again. And Stephanie Dolson had a pretty good game. Malanga had 21 points, 7 rebounds, 1 steal, and 1 block. Dolson had 16 points, 3 rebounds, 2 blocks. And Melbourne had 14 points, 6 assists, and 3 steals, which is pretty great. Flage only had 7 points in the game. You know, she's still, I think, just, like, waiting for that shot to kick in. Like, the other terrible thing that happened during this game is that Dom Malanga got injured. She did not come out, however. She fell, hit her head on the floor on a foul, right? And was not taken out for concussion protocol, and yet was put into concussion protocol the next game. When we played the Fever, Storm played the Fever, Dom was out. I mean, it just sucks for so many reasons, right? This was a head injury from another game where she didn't come out. She didn't get that concussion protocol right away, which is really serious. She also has, this is her second concussion in a short period of time, which we know is, like, also really bad for brains. And just because she's kind of carrying the team right now, right? She's been the leading scorer. And we don't have, again, no Ezzy, no Awa, no Katie Lou Samuelson. So this was going to be a tough one against the Fever to win. Jade Melbourne did get the start, her first start of the season, which, you know, is very well deserved. I'm sure no one would say otherwise at this point. But it wasn't as big of a blowout, you know, as it could have been. 78-89 was the final score. And Natisha Heidemann really stepped up. That was really great to see. Natisha had 19 points and 3 three-pointers. And they all looked really good. Like, if she can put up 19 points a game, like, that makes a huge difference for this team. But yeah, there's still some struggles going on with the Storm. And again, I don't think we know who this team is until, like, everybody's here. So we've got, which should be happening really soon. at least with Awa, I have no idea how long Ezzy and Katie Lou are still going to be injured. Flage's shot is still not quite there, but, you know, she is still showing that fire and drive. She did have 14 points in the game against the Fever, but her shot percentage was only 21.4% field goals and 0-for-4 on three-pointers. So she's getting rebounds. She had 4 blocks against Indiana, and I think it'll come. Like, she's new, she's young, she's in this totally different situation, and you can tell she's taking the shots, which I think is a good sign. Jordan Horston is not taking the shots. Jordan Horston needs to show up. She needs to get back in the rhythm. I know it sucks. I hope she's talking to the team psychologist. Like, I think this is, like, a slump situation of coming off a big injury, and her stats are really not looking good.
but I would say, like, I'm a fan of Jordan's game.
I love Jordan.
Watching her play in college and then getting senior play at Climate Pledge for the tournament and then getting drafted. And I hope that she doesn't take a lot of shots
that are
outside 6 feet from the basket. Yeah. I think that's her, like, superpower is, like, as a slasher. Yeah. She can shoot, but yeah.
She's not
in the rhythm, but I think I watched a little bit of some of it, and I thought that she's still struggling, I think, to also find how she flows within this idea of an offense that's a little more free-flowing,
yeah,
which I think will benefit her, but she still hasn't found her, like, voice or style in that.
Yeah, I totally agree. She feels a little lost on the floor to me watching. And I want this for her. Like, she could be such a huge piece to this team. And I do. I love her. I love her energy. But yeah, I think it's just gonna come, right? It's this whole coming back from injury, a season-long injury when she had only 1 year under her belt. She's on a completely different revamped team. I mean, that's hard. This kind of thing is hard. But yeah, she didn't even take a shot in that tempo game. She had two free throws and she missed one of them. Right. So I'm worried about her. I want her to be okay, especially when she had such a great attitude and outlook, you know, in those preseason interviews we did. And yeah, I hope she's not like losing hope yet, you know? Okay, let's move on. We've got other things to get through. UW softball season ending over the last weekend. They were at the Fayetteville tournament. We talked about it a bit last week. They did end up, they played Fordham. They beat them 5-2. Later in the day, same day, they played South Florida and dropped that one 6-4. End of the UW softball season. It was really up and down this year, Jeff. And, you know, we spoke with Coach Heather Tarr before the season began, just about, you know, this being a really young team and all of the sort of hope and excitement around this new team. So any thoughts just on what's to come next season?
Well, they lost to South Florida twice because they played South Florida the first time and lost. Then they beat Fordham. Then they lost to South Florida again. Arkansas won the regional. I mean, young team or not, there is a little bit of criticism that they have not gotten out of the regional for, like, I want to say the third straight time now, which is below the standard set at UW. It just is wild to me that it is May 18th, May 19th, and softball season's over. It comes so fast. I really wish the season was longer and we could get some sunshine in, but for the record, they're going to be really good next year. Like if they can keep this roster together, they're going to be really good.
And staying with the University of Washington, the Big Ten track and field tournament was this weekend as well. The University of Washington women finished in fourth place with 88 points, which is just 4 points off of second place. And the most points that this team has scored at a conference championship since 1998. A few highlights. Julia David-Smith earned silver in the 5,000 meter race. She ran it in 16:58.99. And then Ashley Schroeder won first place in the javelin. And senior Chloe Thomas won the 10K. We have mentioned before on this show that there are an incredible set of twin sisters on this team who both do pole vault. Hannah Moll, who is now the three-time pole vault NCAA champion, broke her own record to win first place on Friday. 15 feet 10 inches. Her twin sister, Amanda Moll, was the runner-up. 15 feet 2 1/4 inches. Not too shabby. Amazing. We love to see it. I want to talk to these sisters really badly. So if you know them, send them our way.
It's incredible. Legitimately, like, incredible.
Yes. I just love it. I think there must be such interesting conversations between them. I think they must, you know, push each other in a way that's really significant, right? And oh my gosh, just if you haven't looked up the pictures of these, do you call them jumps or just vaults? Like these vaults are like beautiful, so incredible, and just yeah, really great. So yeah, the good job everyone, all those University of Washington women on the track and field team. This is a big moment for them.
If we could only have a home meet when it's sunny. This is, are they like, we never, you have to watch them on TV, like very rarely. You can go to indoor meet. It's just not.
It's the problem with the Pacific Northwest in the springtime, right? And the college schedule ends before summer really hits here in Seattle, or the good weather does. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned for my hot take of the week, which happens to be about Caitlin Clark, and a interview with Susie Rantz of Sounder at Heart, all about the rain and their scoring troubles. We will be right back here on The Forecast, Seattle's weekly women's sports show on KVRU 105.7 FM. All right, we are back here on the Forecast, Seattle's weekly women's sports show on KVRU 105.7 FM. It's time for my hot take. Jeff, unfortunately, I have to talk about Caitlin Clark right now. I hate talking about her. if you're just joining the WNBA fan base like yesterday and don't know why some people might not love Caitlin Clark, the short version is that, you know, she's a media darling that has basically made it so that all the other players in the WNBA and everyone else who has ever played before her has been ignored in lieu of giving her all credit for the success of the league. You know, she is elevating it, and she's the one that has brought it to a new level, and all these new fans have joined just to watch Caitlin Clark. I just really don't buy this narrative. I don't think the WNBA needed Caitlin Clark to blow up in the last couple years. In fact, the numbers were like already on the rise. She didn't even play really last season because of her injury, and the numbers broke records again. Sure, it helped. I'm sure it helped to have national coverage of the league at a time of growth. And she does play exciting basketball to watch, but the continuation has just, like, this conversation has become insane to me. To the point that, like, every headline from a national media or local media outlet about the WNBA tries to work Caitlin Clark into it, like, regardless of whether she has any connection, like, any tenuous connection. Can we put Caitlin Clark in here so that we will get some clicks? I'm not saying this to be a hater, although I am highly skeptical of the fact that she was associated with Morgan Wallen recently and decided to walk out with him. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I don't know. Look him up. He's kind of a horrible person. He has a history of saying extremely racist and awful things. I cannot believe Caitlin Clark's publicity team let her do this. It really says a lot to me about her politics and her beliefs, and not in a good way. For a person who has been kind of made the face of, like, the white WNBA and not really ever pushed back against that, or only when she really, really, really had to and then said the bare minimum. Anyway, I want to talk about our game because the reason I bring this up is Storm played the Fever on Sunday. She had a great game. She played for only 24 minutes and she got 21 points. She was 5 of 10 shooting. She was 9 of 9 from the foul line. 10 assists, 7 rebounds. This was her 12th double-double with at least 20 points and 10 assists, which is a league record. And over this weekend, she became the first WNBA player to have 2 games with more than 30 points and 10 assists. Great numbers, okay? Great numbers. She's a great player. I don't fault her for anything. But is she the best WNBA player to have ever lived? No. No. Maybe she will become that. Maybe. This is only her 3rd season, right? But I just want to look at her college stats, because this is when everybody decided she was the, you know, coming savior of the WNBA. So, let's
look. I knew this was coming. I knew this was coming.
College stats. I know. You know who I'm going to bring up. Let's compare her to someone else who was known for her long threes and having a really exciting college career, who led a very not well-known team deep into March Madness for multiple years in a row. Sabrina Ionescu, who played for the Oregon Ducks. Jeff hates them. I love Sabrina Ionescu. I loved her college career. I was a huge fan. They actually had extremely comparable college stats on average. Sabrina had 7.7 assists per game. Caitlin had 8.2. Caitlin did have overall more points on average per game. She had 28.4 compared to Sabrina, who had about 18. But they were also playing on very different teams, right? they both had about 1.5 steals per game. They both shot 45-46% field goal percent overall. 85% on free throws. They're both, like, just same. But you know what else Caitlin Clark had? 4.6 turnovers per game. Do you know how many Sab had? 2.8. Sabrina also had 1.7 offensive rebounds per game. Caitlin had less than 1.5. For all the praise of Caitlin Clark's logo threes and her big threes that are so exciting, just like Steph Curry, guess who was the better three-point shooter in college?
Kelsey Plum.
I should look up Kelsey Plum's real quick, but listen to these other comparisons. Okay, Caitlin Clark's three-point shot percentage was 37.7% over her college career. It's not bad. It's not bad. It's actually quite high.
It's amazing.
But guess who's higher? Mm. Sabrina's 42.2% on three-point shots. Asia Wilson shot about the same as Caitlin Clark in college, 37.5%. Okay? Just about as good as Caitlin. Diana Taurasi in college, 39.2%.
Killer.
You know who's even more killer? Let's bring it back to Seattle, shall we?
Oh, yeah. It's she does not get enough praise. For real, though. In a different era. And she's not, the shot volume is not even, it's not even comparable.
No. Sue Bird's college career shot 45.9%.
The GOAT.
Three-point shots.
The GOAT.
That's almost half. Half of her three-point shots went in. And, you know, she had all these other insane stats. Which is all just to say, too, like, there are so many good ways to be a basketball player. Like, we talked about Jordan Horston earlier. We've talked about people who don't show up on the stat sheet, like, at all and still change games. Caitlin Clark has a great game. She has a game. A lot of people love it. It's not like it's out of everyone else's league in the WNBA. It's not like she needs to be mentioned in every breath of every news story about this league. And I'm sorry, but, like, the fact that she did this thing with Morgan Wallen and then just, like, had two pretty good games at the beginning of this season and is being praised as, like, oh, she's finally back and she's going to be elite and she's going to prove herself this season. And it's, like, I don't know. I'm kind of over it. I just don't see it. There's so many amazing WNBA players who have come before her and who are going to come after her. I don't need it. That's it. Sabrina Ionescu forever, even though she's hurt and I'm not a Liberty fan.
That's a great take. That's a great take. Will you? I think to add to the tail end of your take.
Yeah.
I think it'll be real interesting in 10 years what the conversation is.
1,000%. And look at this. I will say, like, if she got, like, I know a few, like, young people, kids who, like, got into the Caitlin Clark conversation and started watching women's basketball because of it. That's great. I'm so happy for them. But you know what they're gonna find is, like, a ton of other people who are just as good. And, like, I hope that, like, this weird media narrative can just die soon. All right, that is enough about Caitlin Clark. We are going to move into our interview section of the forecast. This week, we are bringing back Susie Rance from Sounder at Heart to chat about the rain and specifically what the heck is going on with the goal scoring or lack thereof over there. Susie, thank you so much for coming back to chat with us.
Happy to be back, although not happy to be talking about this.
Yes. So for those who might not be paying attention, can you just lay out sort of how this season has gone in terms of offense for the rain so far?
Yeah, started better than expected, honestly. The rain had to move stadiums as Lumen Field was getting renovated for the World Cup and just found their offensive footing playing a few games in Spokane. And seemed like a team that was turning the corner when it came to goal scoring, which was a real issue for them last year. But that has turned into a turning into what could be a historic goal scoring drought in the NWSL. Now, what is it, 6 games or 5.5 games straight? Really, really struggled to create chances this last week.
Yeah. What is the like record for going?
Oh my goodness.
Do you know?
There is a amazing Sound Art Heart reader who is who created, he went back and created a chart looking at, I think the best records we have date back to like 2018, so it's not 100% all the way back to the early days of the NWSL. I'm just pulling it up as we speak. The Reign are,
I don't even want to know,
at minute 547. And which is not quite yet as bad as our 2024 season, where it was a 581 minute goal scoring drought.
So we've been here before.
which is number 4 and number 6 from in the NWSL. The Washington Spirit in 2018 went on a 826 minute goal scoring drought. Shout out to Shameless Rain Stan on Blue Sky.
Wow.
For that.
Thank you for that. That is incredible information. I love a data point. Well, it's kind of good to know that, like, it's happened before. I don't know. I've been talking a lot. My husband has been, like, on this rant about Cal Raleigh. Everyone being, like, so upset that Cal Raleigh's in a slump and, like, oh, it's never happened this bad before. And I'm like, baseball players get in slumps. Like, this is a completely normal thing. Like, of course, especially if you have, like, this historic season, like, you're going to have times where you just don't. And it's the same in soccer, right? Like,
Very much.
Have incredible goal scorers who just can't find it for, you know, however long it is. And in NWSL, you're not playing all that often either. So yeah, who are the kind of folks that maybe were supposed to be, putting the ball in the net for the Reign and have just kind of like lost that footing?
Yeah, I think there was a lot of expectations for Mia Fischel this year, coming in mid-season after tearing her ACL, coming from Chelsea, lots of big expectations for her. Mm-hmm. Last year was like that like weird half season where you're just getting to know the team. So zero expectations, I would say, for her then. But she has yet to score a goal for the Reign this year. So she's one. Maddie Dahleen and Emery Adames, two young players kind of playing on the wing. Emery Adames going into her third season with the Reign. And she's still only just turned 20 years old. So still very young, but tied for the league or the team's goal scoring team lead last year with 6 goals. Maddie Dahleen had 4 goals and 4 assists in her rookie season last year. So I would just say, like, those are some of the folks that people really saw as goal-scoring threats. With the Reign, it's always been kind of a team goal-scoring approach, so I don't think it's fair to put it on one player, but those are some of the ones, certainly. And what I would just say, and we'll probably get into this a lot more, is I am not convinced that, like, scoring goals is the number one problem for the Reign. I think creating more chances is the number one problem for the Reign, which leads to goal scoring. But I don't think it's that they've created a ton of chances and they're just not putting it away. So I think it's unfair to put it on like the forward line completely. I think that connection to when the Reign win the ball back in their midfield or in their defensive third, the progression to the final third is what is they're struggling the most with right now.
Yeah, it's been interesting to watch. I think, you know, it seems like Mia Fischel is out there playing, you know, up top and doesn't really have much to do, right?
Yeah, she's not getting enough touches for sure.
Not getting to her. The player I've been super impressed by and feel like has the energy on the field all the time is Montazier. Like, I feel like she is the one who is kind of creating these chances and sometimes for herself, like, right? Like, and you kind of are losing some of that other energy within the midfield. And what are you seeing in terms of, like, why is it not getting up to those goal scorers?
Yeah, I think, like you said, Montazier's taken a really big step up this year for the Reign, which is exciting. And she has been playing a lot on the wing. They tried her more in like a central midfield role because I think one of the, like, it's not a coincidence that some of the rain struggles to score goals has come with Jess Fishlock getting injured.
Right.
Obviously, Jess Fishlock cannot play all of the minutes and is in her last year, but she's still a really, really, really smart player, can see where those gaps are in the midfield, the spaces to run into, understands the game so well and can see it so well. So when the rain, Sam Meza has been a menace in the midfield winning the ball back for the rain. But who does she go to then? Who does she turn to progress the ball up? Every option is a back pass, it feels like, right now, instead of going forward. And that's where Jess Fishlock pops up. She finds that space. So I feel like that's a huge missing gap. And is there another player right now for the Rain who can fill that gap? We haven't really seen it enough yet in Jess Fishlock's absence. But I feel like that's what's missing to create a lot more chances.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. A lot of that back passing and really not a lot of shots overall.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that's just the ball not getting up there? Do you feel like that's people not taking the chances they have? Like, what's going on with that?
I kind of feel like a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. I do feel like, and, you know, soccer is very much a momentum game. I would say, like, the Washington Spirit and Gotham, two teams that are playing arguably some of the best soccer in the league right now, they started this season unable to score goals. And they figured it out pretty quickly. But those first three or four games, I was like, oh, gosh, is Gotham ever going to score? Mm-hmm. And sure enough, they are. So I do think soccer is a game of confidence and it is a game of momentum. And some part of me does inherently believe that if the Rain can score one goal, like, then the floodgates will open. And at the same time, I haven't, like, seen enough that I'm convinced that that's, like, the only problem that the Rain have is just, like, getting that one goal off their, you know, off their backs and being able to run with it and score a bunch more. Mm-hmm. They are a team that have showed when they score early in a game, they sure can keep and run with that momentum. And that's what, you know, they beat Kansas City with a 3-0 lead at halftime and really dominated in that game. So early goals, scoring those chances early makes a huge difference, but I do think they need to figure out a lot more than that.
Yeah. What are some of the responses that you've heard from Laura Harvey, the coach, just about, like, what they're working on to try to, you know, address these problems maybe at the root, but, you know, also just in the results?
Yeah, it's interesting because I do think there is something that if, as a coach, you harp too much on not converting chances, that gets in the player's head. And so I asked her this question, I think, heading into the Washington Spirit game 2 weeks ago. And she said, my job as a coach, and I think this is absolutely true, is to make sure my players are the most prepared for our opponent. And that is what we're focusing on in training. And part of that is, like, the way that we build in the attack and the way that we, and but we're not harping on finishing those chances and we're not harping on, like, converting goals. It's about the game plan. And actually, I will say, I thought the Rain played incredibly well against the Washington Spirit.
Yes. Yeah. They did.
And
were really,
unfortunately,
winning
let in the one, like, one of the one chances that they gave the Spirit, you know? So that one was just, like, such a bummer. I don't think they played well at all against Gotham. So that is kind of, like, from a coaching's perspective, we're not going to harp on the fact that we're not scoring goals. We will talk about it, but it's more in the context of being prepared for our opponent. And then I heard her reflect after the Gotham game that Gotham is a team that wants to force you into these short passes, and they're really well prepared to defend them. I mean, this is the best defensive team in the league, so I think we have to take that information as well. I was like, I'm not really someone who screams during games. Internally, I was screaming watching that game against Gotham, being like, go long. You have Maddie Dahlin, who is one of the fastest players in the league. Just try to get behind Gotham. Mm-hmm. And that is what Laura Harvey said the game plan was. That is what they prepared. Uh-huh. And that is not what we saw reflected in how they played. And Laura Harvey was like, Gotham has how many World Cup winners on that team? Sorry. How many players who have won the Euros, who have won championships? And there is something to say about knowing how to win a game and experiencing winning the biggest things. And the Reign do not have that much at all on the roster right now.
No.
And so it is a little bit of just a learning curve with really, really young, talented players, but who are just not translating that, like, this is what we coached. We're experiencing something a little bit different in the game. How do we adjust to play the game that we want to play? And some of that just comes with more games. Yeah. It is a somewhat long season, but I would love to see a little bit more experience come into this squad that has that kind of like winning knowledge. We had it in Lindby and Dolo, who's out of maternity leave, but that's one player I would point to as someone who does have a lot of that kind of experience.
Right. I think that's a really great thing to point out about this team, right? Lindby and Dolo being out, and now Jess Fischlak, you know, being injured. And were those kind of the two who had that kind of experience, who could kind of like usher the rest of these younger folks in? Or do you see anybody else on the team that could slot into that role?
Yeah, I mean, Sophia Huerta has been a captain this season. I mean, she has so much expertise in this league, and does not have that much, not because it's her fault, but doesn't have as much experience winning things based on the team she was on previously. But she's been with the Reign now for 5-6 years and is just like a really, she's demonstrated, a really smart player, knows how to translate the coach's vision, has adapted from being a forward to being an outside back, and filled in really well in that role. So she's another player who I think has that ability, and I think in everything she says and the accountability that she holds as a player, is someone who is taking that on internally. We might not see it as much in terms of translation on the field, but I think she does play that role, especially for players on the back line.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and another question about rosters is, is it possible at this point to sign another player or trade for someone? Because it does sort of feel like there's a spark missing, right? There might just need another piece to the puzzle.
Yeah.
How does that work within the NWSL?
Yeah, there's different transfer windows that open and close, and there is like a summer transfer window that's opening. So for folks who may not know, there's two more games left in this kind of first part of the season. Then there's a summer, like month-long summer break, and then the team comes back in July. And so I want to say the NWSL transfer window opens July 14th. For teams like, you know, the seasons are ending all across Europe. So there's a lot of players who are going out of contract. We've heard some big names of players whose clubs aren't resigned. Sam Kerr, Bunny Shaw, who's been the leading scorer in the WSL forever, it seems like. Players that have been playing in Germany. So lots of options out there for the Reign to bring in for like the latter half of the season and beyond. I would like to hope that they are thinking seriously about that. They have roster, I would say. Now, unlike MLS, they don't have salaries and like team salary caps published anywhere, but the Reign got a good amount of money in the trade to Chicago for Jordan Heidema. I understand Ji Soyun's contract was pretty significant. They don't have that on their roster books anymore. I think they have money to work with this new high-impact player rule that the NWSL put forward. So they have the ability to bring in a winner or the type of player that we've been talking about.
That's great. I mean, that's great news, especially for, like you're saying, like there is going to be this break for the international window. The World Cup will happen. Maybe we'll talk to you about that at some point. But, you know, there is still a lot of the NWSL season after that.
Mm-hmm.
What are you thinking about just in terms of, do you think this break is going to come at a good time for the Reign? Or, I don't know, is it better to, like, go out with struggling or on top?
I think these next two games will be before the break are going to be really important for the Reign, both on the road. I feel like this is a team that demonstrated early in the season, like, the overcoming challenges is something that they really pride themselves on. You know, they had the world's worst adventures to get to Orlando and back.
Right.
They had to play home games in Spokane, which are not home games for any team when you have to fly. You know, it's a quick flight, but you're still leaving the comfort of your home and the routine of being at home for an unknown training surface, an unknown playing surface. So they showed that they were really good at overcoming a lot of those early obstacles and hurdles, and they could bounce back quickly when they didn't have a performance that they liked. So I think these next two games are really important. And then I do think having that, like, time to reset over the summer will be really valuable for them. And I still feel like they really need to add someone.
Fair, totally fair. All right, one more thing, just on a slightly different note, is that last week I kind of called out the supporter section there in the stadium not being very full. As somebody who, you know, has been watching the team for a long time, you know, sees every game, what's your sense of just who shows up to the stadium? What's the potential for growth there? Or maybe, like, what do you consider sort of the trouble of filling those seats are?
I think it's a really good question, and I don't know that I have any brilliant answers. I sit there in the supporter section. I think it's a little bit confusing for folks who maybe haven't been to a game for the first time to understand, like, when you buy a section in, or seat in that section, it's like you can sit wherever you want. There's lots of room. I think you sometimes see tickets in GA and you kind of are like, ooh, that seems like overwhelming. It's a huge section.
Yeah.
You can pick anywhere to sit in that section. It's actually quite empowering, and it's the cheapest seats in the house with a great view. So I love sitting there. I still think that this team has work to do to engage the community, like the club overall. I still think the Reign need to feel deeply a part of Seattle. Mm-hmm. And I think that showing up in the community, I think the players want to do that. They do it on their own, you know, outside of the team structures. But I do still think people need to see and feel that this is a Seattle team for them to come up to a game, period.
Yeah.
Attendance has not been great the last 2 years from a Reign perspective. And they are putting more marketing resources behind it, but we're not seeing that in terms of people showing up. So I do feel like there's a lot of work to do to build connections with the community. And I think when people come, hopefully future home games are a lot more exciting than the first two, three in Seattle. But when they come and have fun, I think we talked about this last time. I love the like engagement of women's soccer fans. Like, you hear the roar, you heard the like booing of the ref in key moments. Like, people are paying attention, and I think that's like you can really feel that in the stadium. So, but I think they have work to do to just get more people. Period.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. It's great to hear your take on it and your experience sitting out in the Keep too. That's it's really good to know. All right, well, Susie, thank you so much for joining us here on The Forecast. We will be paying attention to the Reign and hope to have you on again soon.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, what are we watching this week?
I don't know, Jeff. Let me look it up. the Seattle Storm play Wednesday and Friday, I think. Yeah, let me get the Storm schedule. You got to cut this part, though.
Yeah.
All right. The Seattle Storm, the Seattle Storm has a long homestand, actually, over the next week and a half. They're playing Wednesday against the Connecticut Sun here at home at 7 p.m. Again against the Sun on Friday, May 22nd at 7 p.m. Then they will be hosting the Mystics on Sunday, May 24th. Go see Lauren Betts play at 3 p.m. And next Wednesday, May 27th, again with the Mystics, at 7 p.m., they're doing this weird two games against the same team thing. I don't really love it. And then they'll be on the road after that. So we'll be watching that this weekend. Seattle Reign are again on the road. I think they're headed to Boston this Friday at 5 p.m. And then they'll be playing the Washington Spirit May 30th. So, and those are the last two games before the Reign go on a break. And I think that's it for this week that we're keeping an eye on. So that's great.
That's
Storm
it.
Storm and Reign. That's it. Because the Tempest made the playoffs, but the playoffs aren't going to be till June. And the Majestics wrapped up their season. So last Saturday, the Torrent, the PWHL draft is coming up. So we'll be chatting about that next week. And yes, college is kind of mostly over. If you have other women's sports you're watching and want us to know about, send us a note. forecast@kvru.org. Thanks so much for listening to the Forecast here on KVRU 105.7 FM, Seattle's weekly women's sports show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Our show airs on KVRU 105.7 FM if you are in the Columbia City area or nearby on Tuesdays at 4 p.m. and Wednesdays at 9 a.m. You can also find us on any of your favorite podcast feeds. New episodes go up on Thursday mornings. I am Maggie Mertens, your host. We are produced by Jeff Scott Shaw. Thanks to Crystal Fincher, Shannon Chang, and the rest of the staff at KVRU for broadcasting our show. And thanks to Susie Rance from Sounder at Heart for joining us this week. We want to keep hearing from you, so please send your own hot takes or comments or questions or anything we missed or got wrong over to theforecast@kvru.org or on Instagram @SeattleWomenSports. For more information on how to support KVRU or this show, please head over to kvru.org. We will be back next week with more women's sports. Keep watching. See you then.